It's time for Agriculture, presented by Turkana Farms in Germantown, New York, a small-scale producer of heritage breed livestock and a wide array of vegetables and berries on just over 39 acres. They also produce a full array of garden vegetables, many of them heirloom varieties raised naturally, as well as an assortment of berries, including raspberries, blackberries, gooseberries, black, red, and white currants, mulberries, and elderberries. And now, here's Mark Scherzer.
This morning's breakfast fruit, mixed with yogurt and granola, included raspberries, Asian pear, Basque pear, a tasty heirloom apple planted 3 years ago whose variety I cannot remember, and a very yellow peach, all picked here. There's something lovely about foraging your breakfast every morning. You may recall that I announced the end of peach season several weeks ago. So I believed. But growing things always has a way of bringing surprises. The peach we ate this morning was harvested from what I believed to be a Shiro plum tree. For years, we had two dependable Shiro plums. We planted them just east of the driveway soon after buying the place. They were abundant producers. These small, shiny yellow plums were delicious. When ripe, extremely juicy, but still a little tarty and quite plummy. Just the way I would hope to be described myself. 4 or 5 years ago, the plum trees began to develop galls on many of the branches, sort of canker sores. My reading suggested that many tree galls are pretty harmless, but because the branches with the galls were dying off, these did not seem so. We made assiduous efforts to cut off the branches with the galls and burn them, but over time, more and more of the tree's branches were affected. 2 years ago, a visiting arborist suggested the trees were irredeemable and should come down. I can't now remember the source of infection she gave as causing the galls, but she said it was airborne and endemic. After the trees came down, one of the two stumps remained alive and continued to send up shoots. I saw no reason not to let that process unfold. And what happened is now a head-high, bushy tangle of branches that this year produced fruit. It was a yellow fruit that I naturally assumed would start getting shiny as it ripened and become a Shiro plum. At some point in the last few weeks, I realized the fruit would never get shiny and was way too large to be Shiro plum. Instead, this week, we've enjoyed some large yellow peaches. And what an appropriate week to be enjoying this fruit. Serendipitously, this morning I heard the title song of the 1974 album Front de Libération des Arbres Fruitiers, that is, the Fruit Tree Liberation Front, by the Belgian poet and singer Julos Bocan. This gifted artist died earlier this week, and the Montreal radio station EC Musique was commemorating his life. My visiting friend Eric, who listens to that station all the time, assured me that Bocan's song was no joke, but was rather a protest song, honoring the efforts of those who resisted the government effort to have farmers cut down their fruit trees and convert to other types of agricultural production. I imagine my saving this tree stump to allow creation of a new fruit tree would earn me honorary membership in the Liberation Front. But how did the plum tree become a peach tree? It didn't take long to learn that plum trees are often grown on rootstock of other stone fruits, particularly peaches. This is usually accomplished through budding, a process akin to grafting, in which buds of plum branches are inserted into the rootstock. This is how the novelty products you see in nursery catalogs, such as trees which produce 4 different varieties of plum on one tree, are created. Pretty clearly, my plum trees were grown on the rootstock of a very late season peach. By chopping the tree back to the stump, I allowed it to revert to type and express its innate peachiness, a quality I too try to personally cultivate. I plan to let this new growth develop, trimming it into a tree shape, and extend in future years the peach season I've enjoyed so much this year. Much good apparently can come of cutting back things to their essence. Last night, capping off a lovely week-long visit, Eric treated me to a dinner at a charming small country restaurant in Pine Plains, Champêtre. The proprietors, Michel and Patricia Jean, previously ran the well-known Stissing House a few doors away, and before that, Provence in Lower Manhattan. They lost the lease on Stissing House this year when the owner of the property died. Stissing House was larger and, as I recall, it had a broader menu, including items like burgers and pizza. Champêtre is in a considerably smaller space with its menu more focused on the French specialties you'd expect of a Provençal chef. You could say it has been cut back to its essence, to its rootstock. The intimacy of the room and service, and the narrow culinary focus on its specialties, has to my mind made for really superior food and a dining experience well worth the trek. I could spin this metaphor about cutting back into a lesson applicable to life in general. Maybe as a country we'd do better to revert to our core historical strength of welcoming immigrants aspiring to a better, freer life, through which we've always prospered, instead of spending huge resources on imperial domination abroad and exclusionary border barriers at home. But it's hard to say that core strengths are the only ones that matter. I'm a better lawyer than I am a farmer, but cutting back my endeavors just to lawyering would ignore all the ways in which doing the labor of the farm contributes to my effectiveness as a lawyer. Perhaps it's better to keep the point short and sweet. Cutting back can be healthy if it lets the healthy essence of your rootstock flourish.
Agriculture is underwritten by Tricana Farms, LLC, a small-scale producer of heritage-bred livestock and a wide array of vegetables and berries on just over 39 acres in Germantown, New York. More information, 518-537-3815.